Let's have a word of prayer.
My Heavenly Father, this morning, as we come to this point in our service, in this divine hour of delivering the word that you have for us today, I pray earnestly that your Holy Spirit now will be in control of our thoughts, our emotions, our motivations, because we are here, Lord, to serve you. We were created to serve you. And now, Father, we open our hearts and willingly accept your truths that you have for us today. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right. Never good when the preacher starts with, all right. There'll be no jokes today. This is going to be a two-part sermon. I know my limits. You guys put that big clock up there. I know my limits. This is interesting. The title, You Are Simon, is supposed to have an exclamation mark. And this is how much I have typed up so far. Because a lot has changed in this message. So we're going to go old school before the computer. So I'm going to give you a brief outline of what this message was originally planned for. And then we'll get into what it became. Okay? So I had a thought many months ago. And these thoughts, they're very random. And I grab my phone, I go to notes, type it in, change it to blue. Blue is my church color. And when it's time for a message, I go digging back. What was important? What was motivating? What mattered? And I find something. The thing is, we have so many good speakers here, it builds up. And I had so many things I want to talk about, and I couldn't decide. But yesterday afternoon, it was kind of set in my mind. One of my coworkers came into my office. I explained, you know, I'll be speaking today. And we talked, and I said, this is the idea I had. And I handed him my phone. And he sat there, and he read it, because it was a long note. And it seemed like his eyes got a little bit watery to me. And I said, that's the message. That's the message for you guys today, for me today, right? So this is based on, as you can see in the picture, Mary Magdalene. You see, she's anointing the feet of Jesus. She's washing the feet of Jesus with her very tears. And this is a powerful, moving story. And the outline I had was a compare-contrast. You're going to get that in 2 weeks. You remember when Pastor Lay joked about, you want to hear the end of the story? Come back next week. We thought it was a joke. We're going to skip next week because it's International Heritage. I'm going to give you this sermon in 2 weeks. What you're going to get today, you know, the typical outline. You have the introduction, the body with about three items, and then the conclusion, you're going to get one item. Unless we can stay till about 2 o'clock, you can't handle the truth. I'm kidding. So you remember, Jesus cleansed Simon the leper. Jesus is at a feast in his honor. And the timing is interesting because it's very close to his trials, to his condemnation, to his crucifixion and death. This is very close. This is within days. And here he is, the honored guest. And this woman comes in, sneaks in, so to speak. She doesn't want to be noticed. And she does what we read in the book of Luke, what we read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And if we could put that into perspective, this has got to change your life. If this can't change your life, I don't know what words to give you. If that account can't put in perspective for you, for today, doesn't change your life, doesn't change my life, why are we even here? Okay? But a lot of that you're going to get in 2 weeks. I'm going to give you a preview. See, here's the thing. She brings in this jar, this alabaster box, with a very expensive spice, spikenard. They say it was equivalent to a year's wages. Do you guys know who Mary was? What her profession was? A little bit less than honorable, let's just say. By the standards of the day, by the standards of our day. You know who Simon was? He was one of the upper guys. This Pharisee, right? He whispered, he thought to himself, does he not know who that is that's touching his feet? Does he not know what a sinful woman this is? And he's thinking this. And Jesus says to him, Simon, let me holler at you for a minute. And this is interesting because this was the heart of the message. He said, Simon, you invited me into your house, okay? You didn't give me a hug. This woman has been kissing my feet and crying. You invited me into your house. You didn't anoint my hair with oil. And she continues to cry with this ointment, this expensive spice. She washes my feet, rubs my feet, and then wipes it with her own hair, Simon. You didn't even give me a bucket of water to wash the dust off my feet. And Simon, prior to this, grumbled about the waste he just witnessed, right? You see, Jesus said to him, Simon, let me ask you something. That moneylender had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii, one owed him 50 denarii. Neither one could pay him back. So you know what he did, Simon? He forgave both of them, the debt completely. Let me ask you, Simon, which one do you think appreciated that and loved him more? And you know what Simon said? These were his words. I suppose the one who was forgiven more. And you'll hear in the message in 2 weeks where, and I'm giving away a lot here, but if you're like me, you'll probably forget. You won't remember this. We're good, clean folks. We don't do what Mary Magdalene did. You know, we try to be more like Simon. We're upstanding Christian folks coming in here, nicely dressed. And when we make little mistakes, Father, forgive me. I lied today. Father, forgive me. I got mad today. And we're asking for forgiveness for something little, right? In our eyes. That's not a huge deal compared to what she was doing, you know? And today, we look at other people. It seems like I'm preaching that sermon that's going to come in 2 weeks. I'm trying not to. And we think their sins are great. They're dirty people. They go against Scripture. They go against the Word of God. They need forgiveness, not me. Don't you think they know that? Don't you think they know they need a Savior? Many of them do. And though they don't cry out on the streets, Lord, forgive me, they cry. To whom much is forgiven, much is appreciated, and much love is returned. To whom little is forgiven, little is appreciated, and little love is returned. But we're going to talk about that. That's a sermon for another day. When we meet, we're going to talk about four groups of people. That's for another day. We're going to leave that alone. This is the sermon outline here. Didn't get very far on it. So as you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, perspectives on one account, right? Turn with me in your Bible to Matthew 26, verse 6. Matthew 26. Verse 6. When you're there, say amen. While Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of Simon the leper, A woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. "Why this waste?" they asked. "This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor." Verse 10, aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me." Pause for a second. What beautiful thing have I done to Jesus today, this week? Verse 12, "When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." And how true is that? How true is Scripture? Because today, I'm telling you just that as we preach this gospel. How true are Jesus' words? I'm telling you what she has done to me today, 2,000 years ago, through to the end of time, when my gospel is preached, she will be remembered for this act. John 12, 1-11 tells a similar account, but I'm not going to read it. Mark 14, 3-11 gives the same account, but a little bit different. The one I really took to was Luke 7. Luke 7, 36-50. Now, I'm going to give you a second to get there. Luke chapter 7. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. You know any people like that? People that live a sinful life, in your opinion? So this woman who lived a sinful life heard that Jesus was eating at Simon's house. She came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. Verse 38, as she stood behind him at his feet, weeping. Sometimes when I think about meeting Jesus, I think about the laughter. I think about facing him. I think about looking at the nail scars in his hands. When do I think about being so humble that I should not stand in front of Jesus and address him? When do I think about being so humble because of my sinfulness that I have to stand off in the distance and just be in awe and adoration of my Savior? This is where this woman was in her life. She began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair and kissed them and poured perfume on them. What kind of love is that? That's what I want to ask you today. What kind of love do I really have for Jesus? Because I can recite some scriptures to you. I can help you interpret some passages. I can write a sermon. I can go out there with Brother Johnny and handle a bottle of ice water once in a while. What kind of love do I have for the one who really matters the most? That she would do that. She would have this very act in public to cry at the feet of the Savior. To take the best that she had, an entire year's wages, and in one instant wash his feet. And then clean his feet with her hair. Not her shawl or anything. Her hair. As she continued to cry. What kind of love do I have for Jesus today? When the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. There is the sermon right there. If this man were a prophet, here I am, Simon, pretending to know stuff, pretending to know Jesus, and in my mind, because Jesus can't hear me say this, I'm going to judge him. If he really was a prophet, he would know who was touching his feet, and he would step back. And then Jesus answered him, because let me tell you something. Jesus can read your thoughts. Jesus can read your motivations. Jesus can read your heart. I can't do it. You can fool me. I can fool you. But Jesus can read it clearly. Simon, I have something to tell you. And you know what he says? Tell me, teacher. And he tells him that story about the moneylender. And let's skip down. Verse 44, he turned to the woman and said to Simon, as he turned to the woman, you see this woman? I came to your house. You didn't give me any water for my feet. She wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. The other three gospel accounts didn't say any of this, this kind of detail, okay? You didn't give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. How much love do I give to Jesus? Really? Because Simon welcomed Jesus, fed Jesus, respected Jesus. It was customary in the day, I guess, to give your guest a kiss. And he says, this woman that you call a sinner, this woman that you stay away from, this woman that you condemn has not stopped loving me. This is the account in Luke. This is beautiful. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. Now, there's another sermon for another day. Faith without works is what? When you have faith, your actions show your faith. Yes? Can I get an amen? And she loved Jesus so much, she showed it in this demonstration. A demonstration that I have never witnessed in my lifetime. To see someone who loved him that much, I've never witnessed that. Her faith she showed to Jesus. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. You hear that? When I think I'm a decent guy and I don't do really bad stuff, but I mess up once in a while, so I pray to Jesus and Jesus forgives me for these little things, this scripture is telling me I love back little because I didn't feel like I got that much. But this woman who was down in the dumps, in the valley, in the lowest parts of this society she was raised in, where she was already a second-class citizen anyhow, she went to him. And he forgave her so much. He forgave her for her lifestyle. He forgave her for her sinfulness, promiscuity, everything she's been doing wrong. And she knows it's wrong. Just the same way we look at people and say, I know they're wrong. But in her heart, where Jesus can see, she wanted out. She wanted a different lifestyle. She wanted a savior. And when I look at people, I don't see that they want that. Because I can't read their hearts. But Jesus said, to whom much is given, much is expected. To whom much is forgiven, much love is returned. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Interestingly enough, who was plotting to kill Jesus? The Pharisees, priests, people that actually studied the same scriptures he studied. People that actually shared common beliefs. Isn't that interesting? In the end times, we're going to be looking for folks with guns and what have you that will persecute us, right? When in fact, it will be from within the church itself. It'll be self-righteous people. It will be misled people. It will be people who don't know the truth of Jesus Christ. It will be people who don't keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. But they will be Christians. Isn't that interesting? Who? Because right here in Jesus' time, the people plotting to take his life were not the Roman soldiers. It was a priest in the temple. This is interesting. Now we're getting into it. So she bought the spices, with the intent, because she loved Jesus, he was a friend, that when he died, this was the custom, she would use this on his body, right? And we know this is correct because at the tomb, who came early that Sunday morning and he wasn't there? The women came with the spices for the body. But for some reason, she decided to use it today while he was alive and well. Today, while he was alive and well. And now, this is the message that I have for me today. You see, those good-smelling spices in that tomb donated by Joseph of Arimathea wouldn't do Jesus any good, would it? The tomb would smell nice. It would be all on the rock and stuff, huh? What good are you doing to Jesus then? Huh? Instead, moved by the Holy Spirit, she chose to honor Jesus when it mattered. Sadly, many people cried when Jesus was crucified. Joseph did. Nicodemus did. These women coming to the tomb did. You know, they cried. They missed Jesus. Poor Jesus. What good are you doing him now? What good are you doing Jesus now? She said, he is alive today. He has saved me today. Today I will honor him. And this is where I detoured from my outline last night. Look at James chapter 2 with me. James chapter 2, verse 14 tells us, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? What does it profit you? You say you have faith and you do nothing. Is that going to save you? Well, I can't save myself. I just got to have faith. So you have faith and you do nothing. Is that really going to save you? Here's a thought that rested on my heart last night. Who remembers Sister Jacqueline Cohen Kilborn? She closed her eyes at the age of 30 a few weeks ago. Here's what's interesting. First of all, she was too young. We know that. When we see an older person in late years close their eyes, that's the natural order of life. When a young person does that, it's a little bit different. But for 2 years, she battled kidney failure and cancer. For 2 years, she was in and out of Galveston Hospital. And I thought to myself, she was a member of our church. How many times did we make that trip to go sit with her? How many times did we encourage her and pray with her? But you know what? It's a long trip. Towards the end, she moved home. She was 15 minutes away in Vidor. How many times did we drive right down the road to Vidor and uplift her? So let me tell you something. Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, these women honoring Jesus after he died, what were they doing good for him? Why couldn't they honor him when he was alive and it would matter? I'm not giving you a guilt trip. Please don't take it that way. Here's the thing. Every time I preach at me. That way you can't throw rotten veggies at me. Okay? I thought about this. I stay too busy. You ever hear that? I stay too busy. I don't work a 40-hour week. I work a lot more than that. And then I help out a little bit around church and stuff, and it's like I stay too busy. And that's my excuse? Really? Because I sure caught some TV. even though I was busy. So where is my excuse for not doing what I was charged to do, to take care of my fellow man, to minister to my brothers and sisters? How do I justify this? And then she closed her eyes. And I can't imagine what that was like. I don't think she was afraid because she knew Jesus, but I think she was sad because she would leave these children behind. And I wasn't there to uplift her very often, once in a while, you know. And I got to think, I worry about growing the church. I worry about having an evangelistic series and bringing more people in. I worry about going out to the bridges and underpasses and feeding people. And I can't take care of my own people. What is my excuse? I don't have an excuse. I'd be lying if I made one up to you. And I'm going to tell you, this is where I got to be very careful. We all use WhatsApp. We got all these WhatsApp boards. Prayer Warriors is WhatsApp. And if I take a whole 10 seconds and I say, praying for Jacqueline, okay, how are you going to back that up? How did I back up that prayer? That is what's weighing heavy on me right now. Romans chapter 12. Amen. Thank you. Romans 12, verse 13. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. When our members are weeping, are we weeping with them? Or are we going to do a quick WhatsApp? Yeah, I'm going to pray for Raymond Green, his daughter and her three kids that ended their lives this past week. That's enough, really? I'm convicting you because I'm convicting myself, okay? And that's okay, a quick 10-second text back. You know why? Because we got busy lives. Let me ask you something. We have a couple of sisters in our congregation. I call them matriarchs. They've been around for a while, because I used to be young one time, believe it or not. I remember being 16 years old in this congregation. We were over on Walden Road Walden at the time. And there were some women, Joanne Anderson, Aunt Nina, Sister Norville. You won't know many of these ladies. Sister Mary Nelson. How about Sister Brenda Zock? How about Sister Carol Domenico? Here's why I remember them. They were my Sabbath school teachers. They were my Pathfinder leaders. They were the youth directors. And I think now, I'm only checking because it might be Joanne fussing at me. No, it's Walgreens telling me my prescription is ready. I think now, let's just pick one because I don't have time to talk about all of them. But I'm going to share this with you. There's one in particular that's watching right now, Sister Joanne. And I call her Joanne, Sister Joanne. I don't call her Mama Jo. But we all refer to her with that adoration, Mama Jo. She's 84 years old. You might want to cut the feed so she doesn't hear me fussing about her. She's 84 years old. The only reason she's not here right now is because her body can't handle it. She's been battling the cancer. Now, with a recent blood clot, her right arm is paralyzed. Because of the accident at Hurricane Harvey and that pinched nerve, her left hand has given her a lot of trouble. And she said, pray for her. And I got to ask myself, really? Pray for her? Don't go see her and sing a song out of the hymnal with her? Just pray for her? Is that what I'm going to do now? She is still the director of our Prayer Warriors team. She is still the director of prison ministry. She lives 25 minutes from here in Coons. And I'm going to ask you, She's still alive, and you can go spend time with her and bring her joy. How often have you been doing it? I get that we're busy. I get that we're tired. We got to feed the kids. We got to do the job. We got them bills ain't going to pay themselves. I know that. But we find time to do what we want to do. We make the time for some time for ourselves. Why can't we make the time the way Mary made the time to go find Jesus and wash his feet and show him, I love you? Because Matthew 25, 40, I think, tells us, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of these, the least of my children, who did you do it to? So let me ask you a question here. If Jesus himself, had a little shack up in Coons, and let's just say we knew it was Jesus, okay, and he had a shack in Coons, would you make a trip up there to see him once in a while? You can answer. It's Jesus. Come on. Right? We would do that, huh? But we're too busy. We're too busy to find out. Sister Brenda is all the way up in Conroe. This is her church family, and I hadn't talked to her. We're too busy to say, Sister Carol Domenico and Johnny stay in that house. They can't get out much. She has a nerve thing on her neck and has to be very, very careful. We're young and strong. It's all about us right now, yeah? You know, we're what matters. That's what this world tells us. That's what we're being taught. What really matters? When you get to heaven, and I'm going to say when you get to heaven, how much is all of this stuff going to matter? I got to be careful. I got a lot of toys and tools and stuff. I tell you, I'm preaching to myself. How much is all this stuff going to matter? You know, when on a Sunday afternoon, I like to take apart a lawnmower or whatever and tinker for 2 or 3 hours when she's 25 minutes away. But know this, we're not all guilty. There's a small handful of people in this church that go see her every single week, some several times a week. They help her get around and get her medicine and bathe and everything. And she's told me, I can't tell you how much I appreciate my family. She's told me this, okay? So you can't understand the impact it has on a person when you do something simple. Give a little bit of your time and your attention. Come on. What is my excuse, really? When am I not going to be busy? When I'm 62 or 66? When Social Security is coming in and I'm retired, is that when I'm not going to be busy? Really? I'm skipping through some stuff. Good thing I didn't bring the whole sermon. So here's a question. I love Joanne Anderson. I love my parents. I love all of you guys. But sometimes it amazes me to look in the mirror and realize I'm 51 years old. When did that happen? I was just 32, you know? So at some point, that's going to be me thinking, well, it's not going to be me because I just like to sit on my driveway by myself and drink my coffee. But it could be me thinking, it'd be nice if some of these young people just stop by and say hi to me. It'd be nice if some of you young folks would come by, and by young I mean under 60, come by and just sit with me a while and think, you know what? That person used to serve in my church and help us out. Why don't I go minister to him or her for a change? That takes a conscious effort. When you leave here today, you probably won't remember. I remember preaching a message towards the end of last year and asking you guys to take that little blue card and write down something. How many of you guys still have the blue card? Oh, I'm surprised. Not you, Zach. Put that down. You just picked that up in the pew. So it takes a conscious effort to realize there is a need right here in our congregation for our own brothers and sisters, because some walk with a walker, some battle cancer, and we can see this need, and there are some that fight right here. There are some that fight right here, and you can't tell, because only Jesus can read the heart. But they still have a need. And what are we doing? How closely are we observing the needs of our fellow man? How closely? Today I'm not preaching to you about doctrines and spirit of prophecy and revelation. Today, I'm sharing a thought that should resonate in your heart the way it did mine yesterday. That one day, hopefully soon, Jesus is coming back. If you don't believe that, why are you sitting here? One day he's coming back. And I got to give an account of my time. I got to explain to him how I managed to watch 7 series of Arrow in 1 week. I got to explain to him how I've seen all 13 series of NCIS. You know how many hours I watch TV, if you think about that? And there are folks all around me, my brothers and sisters, that would love for me to stop by and open the Word of God with them. I hadn't been doing it, have I? So one day I got to face my Lord and explain why. What am I going to tell Jesus? What are you going to tell Jesus when he looks at you and expects you to share with him how you spent your time? He already knows, the same way a parent knows what a child already did, but they're just waiting to hear it. He already knows what you do. The interesting thing is, today, 2,000 years later, I still break the heart of Jesus. 2,000 years later, after his resurrection, and knowing the cost, I still manage to mess things up and make bad choices and choose the wrong way. And you know what? I'll fall on my knees and I'll ask him to forgive me yet again. But why do I look at my brother who has a bigger sin and think I'm not that bad? Huh? We're coming down to the end, I promise you. That day in Bethany, Jesus was alive and he knew that Mary cared. He knew that Mary loved him deeply. He knew that she appreciated his gift of forgiveness. And that day, it brought him great joy. Do you know that today, it would bring him great joy if you open that door when he knocks? Do you know that today, Jesus would be overjoyed if you take the time to find him in prayer? The Desire of Ages reads that as he, Jesus, went down into the darkness of this great trial, he carried with him the memory of that deed, a foretaste of the love that would be his from his redeemed ones forever. I didn't read that in the Bible, but I read that in the Desire of Ages. That's the way that gift impacted my Savior. When he faced the 40 lashes and the skin was ripped off his back, when he carried that tree on his shoulder and his body was failing and he fell and someone had to carry it for him, when he was nailed to it with big iron spikes right through his flesh, when they poured vinegar on his wounds, when they pressed the crown into his head. You know, the nerves are more sensitive at the outer ends of our bodies. And when he wouldn't die, so they ran a spear right through his side. What comfort did he have? What joy did he have? The Desire of Ages tells me as he went to his deepest, darkest trial, he carried the memory of the love that one had for him. We often talk about Jesus, that he would come and die for just one sinner. Y'all have heard that, right? We've seen the parable, he leave the 99 sheep and go after the one lost sheep. This isn't a parable. This is real. He remembered one person that took it to heart that he is the Savior and he could forgive sins. And she believed that he forgave her sins. And she turned over a new leaf. She dedicated her life to him. She showed it to him. And he remembered that on that walk. I'm going to skip all of this. So today, as you reflect on those who change your diapers, you can't remember that far back, can you? Because now you're too busy fussing about having to change diapers yourself. Or those kids bring those grandkids and expect you to change diapers. Wow. Huh? Today, as you reflect on the ones who did that for you, the ones who taught you how to tie your shoes for the first time, the ones that taught you how to drive a car, the ones that taught you how to turn on the stove and fry an egg. You don't remember that. You're grown folks now. You got a job and you got money and you're successful. Where are those that taught you? Where are they now? Some have already closed their eyes. Some are still with us. How much is it going to matter when they close their eyes and sleep, waiting for the call of Jesus in the end? How much is it going to matter when you stand at their grave and say, "Oh, I love you so much. Oh, I wish I had come seeing you more." How much is it going to matter to them? They don't know what you're saying. They don't see your cries. They don't see your tears. They don't know anything. The time to honor a person is now when it matters. The time to stand and carry this gospel forward is when people can feel it, when people can experience it, when people can take it to heart and somehow get to heaven with Christ. Not when they've already closed their eyes. So you think about that. Think about that. I'll think about it when I go home to my nice house in my nice car and catch me a 2-hour nap and get busy next week. And those same people I just talked about are going to be sitting there by themselves. And what am I going to do? Am I going to forget about this? How important is it? In closing, I'm going to tell you, Jesus said, "Inasmuch as you've done it unto one of these," that's right here with you, "you've done it unto Jesus himself." Take that to heart. The enemy is a master of deception. The enemy tricks us with chaos and distraction, right? You know there's already another new iPhone out, like last month or something? We got to have this, we got to have that, we got to be faster, we're going to get newer all the time. It's distractions. How does that really impact your walk with God? How does that really prepare you for a life with Christ, with God the Father, with the Holy Spirit, with the holy angels, with the saints who have gone before, walking with Elijah, walking with Moses? How does that prepare you for that experience? The only way to prepare for that is to stay in the Word of God, to fall on your knees in prayer, and to ask God to empty yourself out. Because I'm good at being good. I'm good at being prideful. I'm no good at doing good because I'm not good, because I'm a sinner born in a sinful state. And the only way good can come out of me is if Jesus is in me. There's no other way that I can do anything good. You know, I promise we're close to wrapping up here. God's law is immutable. God's law does not change. And we hang our hat on the fourth commandment. And rightly so. But let me tell you something. He gave us 10. And if God wrote them with his own finger, they matter. So I challenge you to look at that fifth commandment. Honor your father, honor your mother, that your days might be long in the land that the Lord God gave to you. It's not always about you. There's a reason why God said, honor your parents. Because I'm telling you, I didn't always have a good job. I didn't always have things. There was a time where I couldn't be left in the yard alone because I'd run in the street. And there was people that made sure that didn't happen. And today, do I remember them? Do I think back to what they've actually done for me? I don't know. You answer the question. How important are your parents, your aunts, your uncles, the people in this church that raised you? How important are they? That's on you, what you do with that information going forward. So will you purpose in your heart today not to let the enemy win? And I'm going to tell you in closing, this message is in no way done. This is part one. So we're going to suspend it right here on this point. We're going to wrap up right here. And I encourage you to come back next week, of course, for the Heritage Festival, but the following week for what I initially planned on sharing with you today. Because if you think this was pointing a finger at you, you wait 2 weeks and come see me. Okay? Let's have a brief word of prayer as our chorister comes up. Father, I thank you for this message you've laid on our hearts, on my heart. May it sink in deep. May it sink in and stay there. May I understand what you've done for me, who you've put in my life, how precious they are to you, and just by that, how precious they should be to me. May I always stand for you and stand for right. In Jesus' name, amen.